everybody. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
Always a pleasure.
Today, we're looking at 7 habits of healthy relationships from Lifestyle Hub 101.
Mm-hmm.
And what really caught my eye about this article was it's framing this idea.
Yeah.
Can we actually build lasting love through conscious habits? Is it just luck, or can we kind of stack the deck in our favor a little bit?
You know what I really appreciate about the way this article approaches it?
Yeah.
It's not about like reacting when things go wrong.
Yeah.
It's about building a strong foundation proactively from the start.
Take a look at
an investment strategy.
I love that. An investment strategy for love.
Exactly.
I'm into it. Okay, so habit number 1 is expressing affection. And I think we can all get behind like a good hug. But this article seems to be getting at something a little bit deeper.
For sure.
Right. It's talking about vulnerability and building trust.
Well, it makes me think about attachment theory.
Uh-huh.
The idea that our early relationships shape how we connect as adults.
Mm.
When we show affection consistently, it's not just a feel-good moment.
Right.
You're actually reinforcing security and safety, which research shows is absolutely vital for long-term satisfaction.
So it's like those little acts of affection, they're actually building blocks for something way bigger.
Exactly.
But I'm curious, what about those couples where you've got one person who's super into PDA and the other one's a little more reserved? How do you navigate that?
Well, that's where habit number 2 comes in.
Okay.
Which is open communication.
Right.
And it's not just about airing grievances.
Well,
it's about creating that space where you can both express your needs and preferences without judgment.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it. If you're uncomfortable saying, hey, I love you, but I'm not really a hand-holding in public kind of person.
Right.
How can your partner know?
Yeah, you're so right. It's like we assume our partner should just intuitively get us, but being explicit is actually much kinder.
Yeah.
But this is the part where I always get tripped up. How do you actually get good at communication? The article kind of glosses over that part.
Well, there's a technique called active listening.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about really absorbing what your partner is saying.
Yeah.
Not just waiting for your turn to speak.
Right.
But reflecting their emotions back to them, asking clarifying questions and making sure you're both on the same page.
Okay, so active listening.
Yeah.
Noted. All right, habit number 3 is fostering emotional bonds. And I love that the article mentions both laughter and deep conversations.
Yeah.
Like, we need both. We need lighthearted fun and that serious connection. It's like life.
It is. And, you know, this ties back into those emotional bids we were talking about.
Yes.
They come in all different forms.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes you need to vent about your workday. Being able to handle both those lighthearted and serious moments together is where the intimacy is.
Oh, my gosh. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
Remember that story about the couple who started doing those theme nights during the pandemic? Like one night it would be fancy cocktails and like philosophy debates.
Right.
And the next night it would be like pizza and bad movie night.
Yes.
They said it totally saved their relationship.
And that's a perfect example of how you can intentionally build those emotional bonds.
Yeah.
Even when things are tough.
Totally. Speaking of getting through tough times, habit number 4 is reconciling after disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
And the article calls out stubbornness as like a relationship killer.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there.
Oh, for sure.
Where it's like, I'd rather die on this hill than admit I'm wrong.
Yes. But what's so interesting is relationship experts say it's not about never fighting.
Right.
It's about the repair afterwards.
That makes sense.
Can you apologize?
Yeah.
Can you empathize with their perspective even if you don't fully agree?
Yeah.
That's what builds trust.
So it's like those disagreements are actually opportunities to practice the communication skills we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's like relationship CrossFit.
I love that.
Okay, one quick tip before we move on, because I know this is a tough one.
Yeah.
In those heated moments, try to use I statements instead of you statements.
Oh, that's a good one.
So instead of saying you always interrupt me, you could say, I feel unheard when I'm interrupted.
Yes. Shifting the focus from blame to your own experience.
I'm writing that down. Okay, habit number 5 is showing appreciation. And this is where I think a lot of us, especially in long-term relationships, we can kind of fall into that trap of taking our partners for granted.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And this is where I think that investment analogy is so powerful.
Right.
Every time you express appreciation, you're not just making them feel good. You're actually reinforcing the behaviors you want to see more of.
So it's not just about being nice. It's a strategic move for relationship happiness.
Exactly.
What's one thing you think people could appreciate about their partners more often?
You know, sometimes it's the simplest things. The willingness to listen without judgment, the way they make you laugh even when you're stressed out, the fact that they remember to like refill the coffee pot.
Oh my God, yes.
Those small acts of kindness.
Totally guilty of overlooking those.
We all are.
Okay, habit number 6, envisioning a future together. This is where I feel like it can get tricky. Because it's easy to have that shared vision in the honeymoon phase.
Right.
But how do you sustain that over time?
The article talks about faith in the relationship, and I think that's key.
Mm-hmm.
It's about believing in each other's potential, supporting each other's dreams.
Right.
And being willing to adapt as life inevitably throws curveballs your way.
So it's not about having perfectly aligned goals. It's about that flexibility
right.
to kind of weave your paths together.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of paths, let's tackle habit number 7 before we reveal the mystery habit.
Okay.
This one is sharing household responsibilities, mm-hmm. which I know can be a major source of conflict for couples.
Oh, yeah.
The article talks about fairness, but what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, it's not necessarily about a rigid 50-50 split all the time,
right?
It's about recognizing that needs and capacity shift.
Mm. Mm.
Maybe one partner is working crazy hours, the other's dealing with a sick kid.
Right.
Open communication.
Right.
Regular check-ins about who's doing what and a willingness to adjust.
So basically, it's all about communication and flexibility again.
It really is.
It seems to be a theme here.
It is a recurring theme for sure.
All right. Are you ready to uncover that mystery habit that the article just hinted at?
I am. Drumroll, please.
The hidden habit is respecting personal space.
What do you think?
Ooh, I was expecting something way more flashy.
Right.
But that's actually so profound because we talk so much about togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the best thing for a relationship is that healthy distance.
It's true. And it really connects back to that investment idea. You're investing in the us and the me.
I love that.
Which ultimately strengthens the whole.
Okay. I feel like we've uncovered so much already.
We have.
And we have more to explore.
We've just scratched the surface.
Okay. I'm ready to dive even deeper. I'm still thinking about respecting personal space.
So
important. Sometimes you need a little distance to come back stronger.
It's true.
But going through these habits, mm-hmm. it seems like so much of it hinges on really understanding your partner's emotional world.
Right.
Is there a framework for that beyond just like, you know, being a good communicator?
Well, have you heard of the concept of love languages?
Oh, yeah. Love languages.
Dr. Gary Chapman's work.
I've taken those quizzes online.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, though, sometimes it feels a little cheesy to me.
Yeah.
Does it really hold up in real life relationships?
Think of it less like a cheesy quiz and more like a decoder ring for your partner's needs.
Okay.
A lot of conflict stems from expressing love in a way that the other person doesn't quite receive.
So like if my love language is acts of service,
yeah.
I might be doing all these chores thinking I'm being so romantic.
Right.
But if my partner's love language is words of affirmation, they're just feeling unappreciated.
Exactly. You're both putting in effort, but you're speaking different languages.
Okay. That makes so much sense. So how do you figure out your love language, and then how do you actually use it to make your relationship better?
Well, start by reflecting on how you feel most loved. Do compliments make you feel really good?
Mm.
Or is it when someone goes out of their way to help you with something?
Mm-hmm.
And then think about how your partner expresses love. Do they bring you little gifts? Do they prioritize spending quality time with you? Those can be clues.
Okay, so once you've like cracked the code,
yeah.
what do? Just start showering your partner with compliments if that's their language?
Be intentional about it and make sure it's genuine.
Okay.
Don't just go through the motions.
Right.
So instead of just saying good job, maybe you notice something specific they did and you acknowledge their effort.
So it's like learning to speak their emotional language fluently, not just parroting a few phrases.
Exactly. And it goes both ways.
Right.
If you realize your love language is quality time,
mm-hmm.
you can be direct with your partner and say, hey, it means a lot to me when we can hang out without distractions.
This is a good reminder. Even when you think you know your partner,
right.
there's always more to learn.
Absolutely.
And grow.
For sure.
Okay, so we've talked about love languages,
mm-hmm.
but there's another layer to communication that I feel like the article doesn't quite address.
What's that?
It's those nonverbal cues.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the way someone sighs or rolls their eyes can speak volumes.
Totally. Sometimes it's even louder than words.
Yeah.
Paying attention to body language. Tone of voice, facial expressions can give you so much more information.
So it's like being a relationship detective. You're piecing together all these clues
right.
to understand what's really going on.
Yeah. And this is especially important during those conflict moments.
Right.
Sometimes people try to downplay their feelings like it's no big deal, but their body language tells a totally different story.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be paying more attention to those signals now.
It can be really helpful.
But what about when those nonverbal cues are mixed?
Oh, that's a good point, because sometimes our nonverbals can betray us, especially when we're stressed.
Right.
The key is to bring it up gently.
Mm-hmm.
You could say something like, I noticed you seem tense. Is something bothering you?
So using those cues as a starting point
yeah.
for a deeper conversation.
Exactly. Not jumping to conclusions.
Right. Okay. I'm really liking this relationship detective role.
It's fun.
What other secrets do you have for us?
One of the biggest things that couples face is navigating change.
Change is inevitable.
It is. How do you keep a relationship strong when life throws those curveballs? Job changes, family issues, just personal growth.
Right.
It goes back to faith in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
trusting that your bond is strong enough to weather those storms, but also being flexible,
right.
willing to renegotiate roles and responsibilities.
So like if one partner decides to go back to school, the other one might need to step up at home.
Exactly.
And be super supportive.
Yeah, even when it's not convenient.
Right. It's about being adaptable.
Yeah. Yeah. And remembering change can be a positive force.
Oh, that's a good reframe.
Right. New challenges, but also new opportunities for growth.
So instead of seeing it as a threat,
yeah.
you see it as a chance to evolve together.
Exactly. And sometimes those periods of change can actually bring you closer.
You know what this makes me think about? Those couples who've been together for decades.
Yeah.
They've obviously been through so much change.
Right.
Kids, careers, health issues, everything.
Everything.
What's their secret? How do they keep that spark alive after all that?
I think one of the most powerful things is investing in shared experiences.
What do you mean?
Creating those memories, those moments of joy and connection that become part of your shared history.
So it's not just talking about your hopes and dreams, it's actually living them together.
Exactly. Whether it's trying a new restaurant or traveling the world.
It doesn't have to be extravagant.
Not at all.
This reminds me of that study that found that couples who regularly try new things together have higher relationship satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
It's like those experiences add a little excitement and adventure.
And those positive emotions, they become woven into the fabric of your bond.
So you're building a relationship bank account filled with happy memories.
Yeah, to draw on when times are tough.
I am on board with this shared experience investment strategy.
That's a fun one.
Way more fun than just talking about like chores and bills all the time.
Well, those are important too.
Sure.
It's all about balance.
Balance is key. But there's one element the article kind of dances around, but doesn't really go deep on.
What's that?
Conflict.
Oh, yeah.
It talks about reconciling afterwards, but not about navigating it well in the moment.
Right. Conflict is a natural part of any relationship.
For sure.
And so many couples struggle with it.
Yeah.
But just like with communication, there are skills and strategies that can help.
Okay, tell me more about these conflict resolution skills.
One of the most important things is to approach conflict with collaboration in mind.
Okay.
Not competition.
So instead of viewing it as a battle to win,
exactly.
you're working together to find a solution.
That works for both of you.
That makes so much sense. But so that requires all the stuff we've been talking about.
Right. Active listening, empathy, compromise.
And avoiding those communication pitfalls.
Oh, yeah. The blaming, the criticizing, getting defensive.
That's like relationship quicksand.
It is. So what's the antidote?
Tell me.
I statements.
Okay.
Instead of, you never listen to me.
Right.
Try. I feel unheard when my perspective isn't considered.
It's way less accusatory.
Right. It shifts the focus from attacking to expressing your own needs.
I'm loving all these practical tips.
They can be really helpful.
We're turning conflict from something scary into something manageable.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And actually, conflict, when it's done well, can be an opportunity for growth.
So it's like those relationship CrossFit workouts.
I love that analogy.
Okay, so we're strong. We can handle those disagreements.
Yes.
But you know what else the article didn't mention?
I'm intrigued. Tell me.
Fun.
Oh, I was just thinking that.
We talk about communication boundaries, responsibility, all that important stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think we get so focused on building the relationship that we forget to enjoy each other.
It's like anything else if it's all work and no play.
Right.
It becomes a chore.
And fun is different for everybody.
Exactly.
Right. For some people, it's concerts and adventures. For others, it's game nights or just making each other laugh.
Absolutely.
There's no right way to do it.
As long as it brings you both joy.
This makes me think about that couple we know who are obsessed with escape rooms.
Oh, yeah. They do one every month.
And they're always so excited about it afterwards.
That's great. It's awesome when couples share a passion.
It's that shared experience we were talking about, but with an extra boost of adrenaline.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be escape rooms, obviously.
Great.
Find what you both love.
So if you're in a rut,
yeah,
maybe it's time to inject a little fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Schedule a date night. Try something new. Be silly. Be playful.
Yeah, reconnect with that joy.
That brought you together in the first place.
Okay, we've covered so much.
We have.
I feel like this deep dive has given me a whole new perspective on relationships.
Good. I'm glad.
But I think there's one more really important piece that the article kind of skirts around.
Okay, tell me more.
It's this underlying assumption that both partners are putting in equal effort.
You're getting at something really important.
It's easy to talk about all these habits,
yeah,
communication techniques.
Right.
But if one person isn't really committed, is it even worth it?
That's a tough question, but a valid one.
It's kind of disheartening.
It's realistic, though.
Yeah.
It takes two to tango.
Right.
You can't have one person leading and the other dragging their feet.
Okay, so how do you know if you're both really invested? Is it a feeling or are there signs?
Well, actions speak louder than words, right? Are they actively trying to implement these habits? Are they willing to compromise, prioritize your needs?
That's not about perfection, but it's about consistent effort. But what if you're doing all the work you're trying so hard to be the perfect partner?
Yeah.
And you're still unhappy. At what point do you walk away?
That's where self-awareness is crucial.
Okay.
Recognizing your own needs and boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And having the courage to advocate for them.
Yeah.
If you've clearly communicated your needs and they're not being met, that's a red flag.
So it's not selfish to prioritize your own well-being.
It's not. You deserve to be in a relationship that nourishes you.
It's so easy to get caught up in that just work it out mentality.
It is.
But sometimes walking away is actually the healthiest option.
Absolutely. Staying in a relationship that's draining you doesn't help either person.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation.
It's been great talking about this with you.
I feel like we really went beyond the surface.
You did.
And got to the core of what makes a relationship work.
It's about so much more than just a few tips and tricks.
So what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember from this deep dive?
I'd say relationships are a conscious choice. It's a continuous investment and a shared adventure.
It's a journey.
It is. It takes effort and intentionality and, of course, love.
But the rewards are amazing.
They are. When you have that joy and growth and connection.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. But thank you to everyone for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Remember, the best relationships are built on mutual respect, open communication,
and a willingness to grow,
both as individuals and together.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Until next time on The Deep Dive.
Keep those sparks flying, everyone. Okay, so we've covered so much in this deep dive about healthy relationships.
We have.
From expressing affection to navigating those disagreements and even having fun.
It's been a lot.
It has been a lot, but through all these habits, there's one thing that keeps coming back to me. It's like this underlying assumption that both partners are equally committed.
You're getting at a crucial point.
Yeah.
That often gets overlooked. It's easy to get caught up in the how-tos.
Right.
But the foundation of any relationship has to be mutual effort.
Right. It's like you can learn all the love languages, all the communication techniques in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if one person isn't fully invested,
right,
then is it even worth it?
That's a tough question.
It's kind of disheartening.
It is, but it's also realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes two to make it work.
Right.
If one person's constantly leading and the other one's dragging their feet,
right,
eventually someone's going to get tired.
So how do you know if you're both truly invested? Is it just a feeling or are there signs you can look for?
Well, actions speak louder than words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see your partner actively trying to implement these habits? Are they willing to compromise? Do they prioritize your needs and your feelings? It's not about perfection.
Right.
It's about that consistent effort to show up for each other.
So consistent effort is key.
Yes.
But what if you are putting in all this work? You're trying so hard to be the perfect partner and you're still unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point where you just have to walk away?
This is where self-awareness is so important.
Okay.
You have to recognize your own needs and boundaries and have the courage to advocate for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you've communicated your needs clearly and your partner is consistently unwilling or unable to meet them,
yeah,
that's a sign that something needs to change.
So it's not selfish to prioritize your own well-being in a relationship.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You deserve to be in a relationship that nourishes you.
I think it's easy to get caught up in that just work it out mentality.
It is.
But sometimes walking away is actually the healthiest choice.
It can be. Sometimes the most loving act is to let go for both yourself and for the other person.
This whole conversation has been so insightful.
It has. I've really enjoyed talking with you about all this.
It feels like we really went beyond those surface level tips.
You did.
And dug into the heart of what makes relationships thrive.
And what makes them struggle sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So if there's one thing you want our listeners to take away from this whole conversation, what would it be?
I think it comes down to this. Relationships are a conscious choice. It's a continuous investment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shared adventure. They take effort, intentionality.
Definitely.
And a lot of love.
Yes.
But they should bring joy and growth and a sense of deep connection.
Beautifully said. All right, that's all the time we have for today.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you to everyone for joining us on this deep dive into healthy relationships.
Yes, thank you for being here.
Remember, the best relationships are built on mutual respect, open communication, and a willingness to grow.
As individuals.
And together.
Yeah.
Until next time on the deep dive, keep those sparks flying, everyone.